meeting to order, please.
Okay, hold on a second. Emily?
Shoot.
She started.
We're gonna start.
Oh. Okay, I already hit record.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, we're on. Okay.
I didn't even see you come in.
Yeah, she was there.
She's an apparition.
The Flash.
She just came and went, like an apparition. That's the word he used, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we don't have any introductions, I guess. Mm-hmm. We all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Minutes from the last meeting, which I did not print, but I looked them over. They looked fine, as far as I can tell.
I got them.
I agree.
All right, so.
No changes?
We'll take rock, paper, scissors on who
well, I wasn't there, so I won't.
Who moved and who, I'll guess one of you move and one of you second, and we'll say,
all right.
Okay.
I was second.
Okay. Next time, you move and you second, right? Okay. Items not on the agenda. Don't see any members of the public here. I don't know if that lady that was here last month got what she was looking for or anything.
I don't know, but
looking
we did connect
GIS,
her with Emily.
You doing an atlas of Iowa or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, we did connect her with Emily, I believe.
I forgot to talk to Emily about that myself, but anyway. Okay, well, Latasha, it's up. You're on.
Yeah, I'm going to be really, really brief so we can get to policies. Programming update, the new program guide is officially out. It's online. It is gorgeous. If you go online and see it, it's beautiful. We have a lot of pictures from last year's Black History Ball on the cover and inside, because that's coming up again. And speaking of that, it's February 8th. Tickets will go on sale January 2nd. And it's going to be gorgeous. It's a special feature this year. Our keynote is Caleb Rainey. He calls himself the Negro Artist, so he will be our speaker as we're doing the elegance of the Harlem Renaissance, and so that's where a lot of his spoken word inspiration comes from, as well as we will have a Harlem Renaissance inspired fashion show in the middle of the event. So we met with models and designers and different folks this week, and they are ready to go and rolling, and so we're very excited about that. So those things are coming together. We got the music, we got the food, we got all the things. We got a lot of details still to happen. There will be an auction, all kinds of stuff. So we're very, very excited about that. So February 8th from 7 to 11, because we're going into grown people time. But we're excited about that. So also other programming, things are going really, really well with so many, as you all know, we have lots and lots of programs. We are tightening up, different procedures around the building. It's the end of the year, so I go into cleanup mode a little bit. And so we have a couple different things that we're kind of cleaning up and making sure that we're shoring up different things that we have around the building and that programs are good, as well as that we'll have a new department joining us here in the new year. So we're just really trying to make sure that everything is kind of where it needs to go and all the people will be where they need to be when that happens, because they'll be here for a couple of months while their department is getting some renovations.
What department did you say?
The engineering department.
Engineering.
So we'll engineering department will be joining us. I can't remember how many people, but quite a few. So with that, we'll have a few less rooms available. So we're just kind of tightening up things and making sure that we have enough, spaces for all the things. So on a facility end, as you all, if you haven't come through the Washington Street door yet, you will know that we have a new awning out front that is navy blue and white. So now you can see from the street our name on the Washington Street side. So we're very excited about that. It took quite a while for that to happen, but it happened today. So we're very
excited. I was out there this morning.
Yeah. What do you think? Does it look good?
I said, move it just a little more to the right. It looks very nice.
Okay.
Very
great. We're glad. We hope people have an appreciation for that. And it's another thing to show about the things that we're trying to get done here. We want people to really be able to identify the building. And I think for a long time, I think our old awning was brown with bright orange, and it just said the center, and it didn't really kind of tell who we are. So we have that there, and has Washington Street entrance on there, so people know what door. So we're excited about that as a update. As well as we're still working on heating and cooling things here in the building. It's an ongoing process. Actually, I have a meeting tomorrow to kind of talk about, you know, how we move forward with getting that handled. As well as next year, we'll be going hopefully into the design phase of looking at the interior as well as the exterior work on the windows and doors. It's still kind of an up and coming thing that's happening. So we'll obviously keep everybody in the loop as well as we're still getting small repairs and different things along the way that we see that are in need. We're trying to address those things as quickly as possible, just trying to work more closely with the building facility. So one thing that's really important, even for all of you all to realize, for all of us to know, is that we are, the senior center used to have our own maintenance and our own custodial staff. Before I got here, which was about 7 years ago, they made a decision to put all the custodial and maintenance under Parks and Rec. So anytime anything needs to get fixed, instead of us asking our own maintenance people, we have to submit a ticket that goes into a system, and then, you know, we get a response about, you know, if they can fix it, etc. So that's why there's a little bit of delay, as well as sometimes that requires outside contractors and different things like that to fix stuff. So just, you know, just letting people know that it's not always in senior center staff ability to fix things. The things we can fix or wipe up real quick or do, we try to take care of it ourselves, but we do have another department that we have to kind of wait for responses from them. So for the most part, you know, they usually get things done pretty quickly, but you know, just knowing that that's why sometimes there may be a delay. If it's too cold or something, then we have to submit a ticket, they get to it, and then somebody has to come over to try to, you know, it's a thing. So, but hopefully with a new system coming up, they'll be able to handle that off-site, and it'll be able to be adjusted a little better, as well as we'll be able to just set a temperature and it be for the whole building. So, but that also is another reason why we need renovation, so that we can control that better. And yeah, so that's it for facility. We wanted to present to you all today a code of conduct policy and a locker rentals. And we submitted both the previous one as well as the current one that we just updated for you all. And then I also would like to make a slight amendment to the code of conduct policy, because we met this morning and we wanted to add like three words in there just so we can make sure. The policy's already been looked at by the city attorney's office and has agreed that it's okay for these policies. These, every year, you know, we have different policies that the commission looks at and approves or doesn't approve. So specifically looking at our locker rentals, which we discussed last week. Let me make sure I'm looking at the right one. Okay, I'm looking at the old one. we changed the availability and the use of the lockers. It is obviously first come, first served, but you have to be a member. What we did change is that on here is that there is an increased price of $15 a month versus we have been at only $5 a month for a really, 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 really long time. It used to be much cheaper to maintain that, but it's not as easy to maintain. So we are changing the policy with the increased price in here. I don't even know if the price is in here. Maybe that's a part of the procedure. But either way, we still will have rentable lockers, but what we had to add was that some items couldn't be stored. We had to prohibit things like alcohol, cigarettes, combustible items, weapons, food, different things like that. It's just one of those things, sometimes you just actually have to put it out on paper so that if it happens, then you can say, you know, it's our policy that we can't have that. So everything else pretty much is the same. Obviously, we, you know, want people to make sure that they have their payments done, and et cetera.
It's on the last page.
Yes. Oh, it's on the very last page. I knew it was in there somewhere. Yes. We also will continue to still have our non-rentable lockers, like in the workout space. You can use those lockers, you know. But there's no locks, so you know, it's kind of purpose is while you're in there, you're working out, if you want to put your stuff in there, you can do that and then take it with you as you go along. So any materials that are left in there, we put them in a lost and found for about 7 days. And then if anything is a prohibited material, we dispose of it immediately. So just want to make sure that we tighten up our policies to be really clear, especially as we're getting more new front desk staff and stuff. We want to be really clear about areas that have been a little gray. Just making sure people know that if people have violations of our policies or anything like that, obviously you can't rent the locker after that. I think we also put in here, let me see. I think it's, members can only rent one locker at a time, and that only the person that's renting the locker, I gotta find that. That we will not allow any member of the public other than a locker renter to access their rented locker, because that has been an issue in the past where people will want us to open lockers for other people, and we're like, you know, we don't feel comfortable doing that, you know, because it's like, this is somebody else's private. They're like, oh, they told me I could, and so we just want to make sure it's in writing that we're showing people, like, we're not trying to pick on anyone in particular, but that we, you know, if people are paying a fee for this locker, that's their locker, and we don't want to open that unless that happens. So that is the update. Eventually I'll need a motion and a if you all want to do these separate, I think we have to do them separately. But questions about the locker rental.
I know we have, you want to do the locker rental first?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one I just talked about, but okay. Like if people have questions, or we can do a motion in a second and then questions either way.
Let's do discussion first, I'd say.
When will that rental be increased?
So we attached. We also had a citywide city memorandum, and so Senior Center has lockers available for anyone to rent. Members have the option to pay multiple months in advance. They may only rent one locker. Locks and keys. Monthly rent is $5. The increase will go to $15. The increase we'll let people know 90 days in advance. So whenever we kind of decide to do this, which will probably be at the beginning of the year, we'll give people 3 months to be aware, so everybody will be notified. And then after that 3 months, then we'll start implementing.
I see. So how many lockers are there total, do you know?
Ooh, or is there? That's definitely a Christian question.
Anyway, curious.
We definitely have some available, so it's not that it's like that. That we don't have some available. At some times we're like completely full. We're pretty close to full, but there are some lockers available.
I anticipate that with the hefty increase that we'll lose some people probably. But
it's possible. It is possible. We do realize that. What we realize it is that a lot of the only other place that has lockers was the rec center, and that theirs was 50 cents a day.
50 cents a day.
Which ends up being $15 a month. Mm-hmm. But the difference with our lockers is people can store their things overnight versus their lockers, you have to remove everything by night or it gets disposed of. So, you know, people will still be able to store their things. And, you know, I'm also willing later, if it just really becomes a issue of cost, that we can try to find some remedies around that by using some scholarship funds or something like that. But for the most part, to replace the lock, it's $12. Mm-hmm. So anytime we have to, like, break the lock to get into it or whatever, it costs us $12. So, yeah.
So anybody have any issues with the or questions about the locker policy? I'll entertain a motion to adopt the policy.
I move to adopt the revised locker policy.
So, I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're good. And then we have the code of conduct policy.
Okay, I just got it.
Any questions about that? Did I hear recently that more of the homeless were being, they opened up a winter shelter or something, so there's
fewer people hanging out? Oh, yeah, they're
out.
definitely. Mm-hmm. So, and then the thing about the code of conduct policy, I just need to add that we need to amend three words in there. So something is really important to me because this, I received a note from someone that wanted to talk about our population of folks who are experiencing homelessness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, most of you all know that I'm a licensed social worker, a master licensed social worker, and have worked with people across the spectrum of, mm-hmm. of needs and et cetera. And so it's really important to me, it's an ethical thing for me, for people to know that any time or anything that we do is for, if I change a policy, I'm changing a policy for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would never want anyone to say that we specifically did anything because we were trying to prevent our unhoused folks from being able to have access to the senior center.
Mm-hmm.
I personally take it upon myself to go out anytime there's a new person. I don't care if you're just new to the building. I try to go out and just say, hi, I'm Latasha, I'm the director, you know, and find out. And I definitely do that with our folks who are experiencing, and I don't always know that. It's just people who are hanging out in the lobby. I just go out and introduce myself mm-hmm. to them because I want to know if there's a way I can help, if there's mm-hmm. something. We have limited scope
right.
of what we can do. Obviously, the people we serve here mostly are 50 plus. And even those, well, some of those folks out there are 50 plus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let's look through this guide and see what class we can get
right.
you in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand when you're in crisis, that's not your
right.
main thing.
Yeah.
And you're there and you're trying to be warm and that kind of thing. So, but that's so important to me that anything that we do here is for the benefit for all of us and that we wouldn't want to ever feel that people were targeted.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that is an energy that can happen sometimes in our communities. It's like, we don't want them here,
right.
those people kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a person that has been a part of the those people group,
mm-hmm.
not that I was telling people those people, but people have looked at me like, oh, she's one of those people. I know how that feels. So I don't ever
mm-hmm.
want to treat people that way. And so
yeah.
So the conduct policy changes, they do impact things like service animals. Because sometimes people will bring their pets over and different things like that. And so we want to be really clear that we will be putting up signs of saying, being really clear about, like, you know. Sometimes if you walk, like, we've had staff one time walk through, you know, to show they're fine. But, like, it should not be, like, a consistent thing where your pets are coming through. Other things that that are updated is... use of the bathrooms and sinks and stuff. It's just like making sure that people are using them for the purposes because people can use them for all different types of reasons. Making sure that, you know, we deal with a lot of different things. Did you have clothes on? I know that seems silly, but did you have clothes on? Did you have shoes on? And some of that is because people might be hot or whatever and they're taking their shoes off and they're walking around. They have to be like, because if it's glass or
yeah.
if it, you know, we don't want to, some of this is, it sounds sad, but it's about liability. We don't want people to get hurt. And so, you know, other things is like, I mean, we all know there's plenty of people that still smoke. It's like, okay, you need to be 20 feet from the building. Like
right.
you need to be on the sidewalk or beyond. You can't stand out front and smoke, you know. So it's just different things like that, that we just have to kind of clean up language in there. And that we're making sure that we're all being respectful of each other and respectful of the facilities too. Because, you know, we work really hard on keeping the environment here clean and we want to be courteous to others. So, you know, we put a limit on the shower room that it's 1 hour versus, you know,
mm-hmm.
we had it open that you can be in there for a really long time. So it's just things like that. And that in enforcement is any of our staff can ask people to make adjustments about any kind of conduct that's happening. The one change that we put in here is under 3I, and it just says public, it says using public restrooms for personal hygiene activities. We just wanted to add using public restrooms, sinks, or fountains for personal hygiene.
Okay.
So an example might be not washing your hands in the the washing your hands in the water fountain.
I see. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we want to be able to say, hey, you know, we have sinks in the bathroom or whatever, just so that, you know, we can kind of keep that cleanly for other people who might want to drink water there. So it's just, yeah, code of conduct policies are never fun. They get written because someone has done something and then we have to, you know, that's where they come from. It's not because, you know, we kind of joked about this, that the code of conduct policy came because people had gotten into an argument over ceramics class about 15 years ago. And that's kind of where our code of conduct policies kind of came from. And so we just have to keep, every year you all know we have to bring new policies or update policies, so.
Full time?
Yeah.
This may be a stupid question.
Oh,
no. No such thing.
No stupid question.
What on earth would people use the toilet for other than?
Well, people are pretty creative. Sometimes it could be laundry. You never know.
Oh.
You know? Yeah, like if you're trying to, you know, dump some stuff out, you know, it's like, that's probably, you know, we do sometimes have people, you know, maybe they want to wash something out or something, or they had an accident and, you know, kind of thing. It's like, you know, that happens sometimes. And so we want to be really clear that when we're using those facilities, that everybody's using those facilities. So let's maintain, like, if you need to do laundry, go to the laundromat or, you know, even, you know, other places that go home or, you know, et cetera, so that not using the senior center in that way. Plus, if you're doing laundry, it's going to take, it might end up taking longer than an hour, and that's why we have an hour, you know, kind of thing. So it happens. Sometimes we find somebody washed a pair of jeans and they left wet jeans on the back of a chair or something. And then, you know, it can, because if we have, you know, if it's cloth, then it can get mold if we don't dry it out. You know, so it's different things like that. We're like, okay, we got to curb some of these things. So we're just tightening up some things so that, you know, like I said, it takes a lot for us to push for someone to have to ask them to leave. And usually if it is, it's for a day. But if it's an injury to someone else, or if it's a violent act or something like that, then we ask people to leave for longer. Because we're like, okay, we got to remember what the space is, what it's utilization for, and everyone wants to be safe here. So this behavior is not acceptable. And so we ask people to leave if they are really, really violating code of conduct policies. Other than that, you know, if everybody's cool, my thing is, if you cool, I'm cool. Mm-hmm. Like, point blank, if you cool, I'm cool. We, no problem.
Well, I appreciate your sensitivity, because I apologize for using the term homeless.
Oh,
because
it's not always a term that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's my responsibility to keep up on language.
It's better to say people who are experiencing homelessness, or people who are currently unhoused, or something like that. You know, and I agree. You know, we want to be as welcoming as possible and be accommodating as possible. I wonder, and you're the social worker, so I wonder though, sometimes how good of referrals can you make? But even if you make referrals,
and that's not within our scope, right? We really can't technically make referrals.
Do you suggest services?
We can suggest services to people.
Maybe I'm using the wrong word there.
No. What you're saying is right as a referral, but we're not a referral agency.
Right.
We can tell people about other places. We can say, because the thing is, we have to be careful, especially if it's a business or something. We can't really, from a government standpoint, say, yeah, you should go over to Bob's painting, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody else can suggest that, but we can't necessarily suggest that. And so we have to be very careful with that. So when we are suggesting things to people, we're suggesting other government agencies, like, have you checked in with the county? Have you checked in with, you know, Department of Human Services, or, you know, shelter house, more of those, like, places that the city funds to help support what they may be experiencing, versus like sending people to private, you know, or something like that. So, but a lot of times people have workers, and sometimes they meet their workers here to talk to them, whether they're from the VA or something.
That's okay.
And you know, and that's fine. You know, we're trying to, you know, where we have little pockets, we're trying to address that.
Mm-hmm.
And the quickest way and the simplest way is actually just approaching people and talking to them.
Yeah.
That's probably been the best way to shore up some behaviors and stuff. It's like, hey, you can't have the whole couch. You can have a seat on the couch, you know, different things like that. So you know, I'm pretty sure I have a reputation out there as a little bit of an enforcer of the code of conduct policy, but the policy is for all of us, mm-hmm. staff included. And so I have to make sure that my staff all enforces it, I enforce it. And if we all follow it, then it allows this place to be enjoyable for everyone, regardless of their background or regardless of what they have or don't have.
So I would just say that what I've observed, everything seems to be under control and reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, you know, I sometimes have my days. I have my days. But for the most part, we really have worked really hard on trying to always remember that we are all connected and we want to make sure people are served and they get the things that they need. But you know, there's always a couple people that cross over the line and you have to be like, oh, the line's over here. Oh, it's over here, you know. And then usually people are like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know, or something like that. And for the most part, you know, if that happens, every once in a while we have had to reinforce, like, okay, we need you to leave for a day or something, and then it's, you know, but that's not where we want to ever start.
What happens if, and I'm sure it happens once in a while, mm-hmm. if there's somebody that's obviously tripping, or you can tell they're on something?
Yeah, we ask them to leave, or if we feel like they're a danger to themselves, then we will call. We have a great relationship with the police department, because, I mean, they're half a block away, and say, hey, can you come by? We're concerned about this person. Or if someone, you know, is really out of it, we might call EMS and say, hey, can you all come check on this person? We would do that for anyone. But yeah, we have had people, you know, we have had people have a sip here too, and I'd be like, I can tell you had a sip here too. So I'm gonna actually have those sips out there and not in here. So usually for the most people are pretty compliant, and they're just like, oh, you're right, I'm sorry, you know, because they don't want to get kicked out, so they just kind of are compliant, and they usually will leave and come back and say, I'm sober, or I apologize, I was, you know, had a rough day or whatever. So
and you use the word danger to themselves. I mean,
it can be. If we're really concerned that someone is just too out of it, and if we ask them to leave, that they might not be safe, then we're going to call and say, hey, can you do a health check on this person? We're concerned. And some people, it has been that the ambulance will come and take them, you know, to get them checked out, because it could seem like they're on something, but it could be a medication and they didn't take too much of a medication, or it could be that you're just really not well.
It could be in a manic phase.
It could be all kinds of things. So instead of making assumptions, we just call and have them make that assessment for us.
Has your staff had training on how to administer naloxone and opioid overdoses?
Well, we definitely are. We are working with the public library, because they have some of those trainings, so we are going to start having some of those trainings with them, as well as partnering with a couple of other organizations. We have done some like mental health stuff like that, but we also have done some de-escalation, and we have done some ALICE training too. So we've had some of those different trainings, but we're definitely on top of getting more of that, building a better relationship with our nonprofits, so that if they have a case manager or something, that we know who they are, so we can help.
The Iowa Harm Reduction Coalition will come out and do the training for free, and you'll get a bunch of naloxone so that you can handle.
Well, that'd be great. So I have to remember that.
Iowa Harm Reduction Coalition.
Iowa Harm
and when you, if you administer a naloxone to someone and it's like a diabetic coma and not actually an overdose, because they look very similar, it won't do anything. Like if you're not, it just reverses the opioid overdose. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, we actually, it's funny you said that, this week we specifically were talking about Narcan and how we can get that training. And
that's
so
the brand.
So we definitely want to get that training. So it's great that you know a specific place. And we were like, I'm like, who can we ask about that? And we're going to ask public health or something. But it's great to know that they'll come out and do that training for free. So
you said the Iowa Harm Reduction Program?
Coalition. Yeah. And they have trainers all around Iowa.
So we'll definitely tap into those folks. We just, you know, the community's changing, and it's we got to change with the community, and we want to serve our community, and that's what we're here for. And regardless of what you have or don't have, you deserve top tier service, and we want to provide that for folks, and we want to also keep the environment safe for everyone and clean and healthy for everyone. So this is just what we do on paper, but we know in real life, you know, we're out there on the ground trying to help people as much as we can within our scope, of course.
And bathrooms just happen to be sometimes one of the only private spots somebody can have for a moment to do. And so, yes, they don't necessarily aren't going to the bathroom. I wonder if when I use public restrooms and there's one of those like newsletter things on the back, that's what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that'd be a way of putting resources out there. So, you know, need laundry services, here's, you know, a location that could give, you know, has gift certificates to laundromats, or here's, yeah, where you can go, the crisis center for this, or, I mean, people know, but
sometimes people don't know.
Or they're new to the area, and this is the first warm location with the shower and a bathroom.
I'm also wondering about advantages or disadvantages of programs for members and the public to educate us about how to communicate with people
just in general
from diverse backgrounds or whatever, you know, some way to help us, I'm including myself in the population, you know, of how to understand better what people might be going through and how to listen, how to communicate, those kinds of things. Maybe that's a programming idea.
How to be empathetic towards our other humans.
Oh my gosh. Right. And here we go. I'm going to throw another resource. So Sherry Watt at the University of Iowa does we're going to do it again, a 4-part series for our employees on just that, kind of centering yourself around your own internal dissonances, seeing like how you react when you are given information that doesn't kind of correlate, and you know, how to be more empathetic to other people's situations. Like, I'm sure she'd love to come out here and do that.
Yeah, no, I know Dr. Watt.
It's not just an economic thing. Maybe that empathy goes to the political sphere too.
Right.
You know?
We all need to learn.
I mean, it's everywhere, right? It doesn't hurt for us to all be a little bit more empathetic about what people are going through. So
that's a program idea.
Yeah, definitely. I'll bring that up to Michelle and see if we can do something. Maybe it's like a senior center sponsored.
What is Sherry Watt is her name?
Yeah, I know
that's
Dr. Watt.
That's her
Dr.
department
Watt.
Or program or whatever.
She's in university.
Multicultural Institute at the University of Iowa. She has a lot of internal training.
I think is she at a Department of Education? Or no?
Yes.
Yeah, I've known her since I was 20.
Anyway, that might be a good opportunity.
That's
go
always a great opportunity
too,
to
be able to go out and do a good program in public. Okay. Well, what's next? Did we approve this yet? No, we didn't. Did we approve it? No, okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve the code of conduct policy. Move. Have
I'll
a second? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm assuming, was this like a second reading of these?
We talked about it a little bit, but it's already been, you can see it was approved in 22. But this is just an update to you.
And I think we had copies of these last month too.
Yeah, and they were in the thing this year. I mean this month.
Okay, so we did that. Oh, and then our next item is election of chair, vice chair, and secretary positions. Do we know whose terms are up? I don't.
So the people who are
expiring.
People's terms that are ending definitely would be Ross Taylor, and of course Angela McConville will be our two people who are leaving this at the end of this month. I guess January
1. Oh.
Did you think you had another year?
No. I was just, who was the other person?
Ross Taylor took Tasha Lard's spot.
Okay. But they haven't been,
No, they haven't. They only came to one meeting.
To the one meeting, okay.
Yeah, so technically, once you hit three meetings anyway, it kind of kicks off the process. But this end of their term. Their term was ending this month anyway, so.
So basically, you want me to pick people who to suggest. So the nominating committee then suggests the people who should, who should be put on the ballot for next year.
Yeah,
right.
Is this something that I could just suggest, you know, and talk to people and nominate people for next month's meeting, and you guys can appoint at the beginning of next month's meeting since there's a tiny group?
Unless there wants to be like a full committee of people who, I mean, a committee, when a committee is seven, is like two or three.
Does anybody want to enter discussion with Angie about officers for next year?
Hey, I'll do that.
Okay. You and I, what we'll do is we'll email and kind of suss out whoever wants to be what. And
then you'll get to present it at the January meeting.
Next month.
Okay.
I have a whole script for you.
Yes. So, she is well prepared on how to do this. And I need you to email it to me so we can have it for the next time.
We do elect the officer terms on 1 year at a time. Is that correct?
Yes, and that would be in January, Or January or February.
So right now, I'm the chair. Lee's the vice chair. Who's the secretary? You?
Yeah.
Okay.
And would you be willing to serve again as chair? Just throwing
what's
that out, asking.
What's the term limit on chair?
It's just a year.
I mean, how many years?
One.
I mean, how many years consecutive?
Many as you get signed up for.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be on the committee more than 6 years. So every year, you would still have to be nominated. Every year, you would still have to be chosen to be the chair if you want to.
But you can keep repeating indefinitely.
So I would be willing to serve again.
Okay.
But
yeah, but
we would also be willing.
But you have to be nominated for for January, and then we would vote.
Be willing to one of these fine
I wouldn't be doing anything. Y'all would vote.
Yeah.
How about you?
Would you be interested in throwing your hat in? See, look at this. Oh. This is the best year.
If
we have all these people.
If we're able to show up, that's important.
The vice is a backup, and then, you know, if they don't show, then we pass it on.
And
we've
got secretary over here. Right?
Yeah. Don't worry, we take all the notes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you don't actually. I've done nothing. It'd just be that you would have to run the meeting if the two of them were gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically.
Second vice chair.
Sorry, we wouldn't call quorum.
Right.
That is a possibility. But I'm hoping this next group is steadfast and always here in 2025 is what I'm going with.
Yes.
So.
And I don't know about Lee, you know. Recovering from his accident, he might say, I don't want to.
It's true. It's possible. Yeah. But he still has time on his term, for sure.
We'll reach out to him.
So when do our actual term, how long are the terms for a member?
It would be January to December.
I mean, board member terms are 2 years or 3 years?
2 years.
So I'm finishing my second year. I'll be entering my second year.
I don't know
what I'm at. Anyway. Okay, just... I'm glad.
I believe they're 2 years.
You're going to stay on top of all that.
I will. It'll be my last big hurrah.
We could make
you
permanent nominating committee.
Oh, no.
It's official capacity.
Because then I'd have to come to all the meetings and analyze who I want to nominate.
Okay.
And I'm done. I've been asked to join a different committee. So here we go. You know, if you do it.
All right. Well, I'm just being funny here, I think. Okay.
You just rotate.
How about Senior Center Master Plan discussion? Has anybody got any more? Is there a start date for that?
No, we don't have a start date for that just yet.
Okay, that was my only question.
But once we find out, we'll definitely let you all know it's going to have to be a lot of coordination about when we close buildings or if we're closing floors, et cetera, because obviously, depending on I won't be here because I'm afraid of the birds. So I don't know what they gonna do. You know, I don't know.
So
I'm trying not to think about it, to be honest.
Send you to the jungles of Venezuela.
I can work remotely for 6 months if necessary, and swing by on the outside and sign things but I don't do birds. So I'm not sure how they're gonna work that out, but maybe they'll catch the birds if they come in. I don't want anything to do with it.
What about the interior design phase?
Yeah,
that's... Because of the, how much money we have, so on and so forth. How do you see that playing out?
I think that on the money end, we're looking good. We're mm-hmm. looking really good. I think it's just going to be about working with the engineering department and facilities department about who do we want to get, do we want to sit out. We probably have to put some bids and different, you know, it's a lot of red tape pieces when you're coming in to do a major project like that, because we need somebody to design, which means there's going to be input and, you know, all the pieces about how, you know, taking the master plan design that we have, this kind of in concept form, and actually talking about, can we do it? What does that look like from a plumbing standpoint? What does that look like, you know, looking at all those pieces, elevator, you know, the needs that we had when we started this in 2019, they look different now. They're gonna look different in 2025. The cost is gonna look different from 2025. So we'll have to get a design team to pull that together, and then we'll involve the commission and other folks on, you know, what that looks like. So we did in the past, and I believe we will continue to do that.
But the windows are paid for, so that's
going well, to yeah, be- that the money the money is set aside for that. Okay, yes. Good. Yeah.
And Latasha's done a lovely job of thinking really far in advance and knowing that this is a whole phased thing. So right. when you think far in advance, then you get you stick it on that 5-year plan, and that those mm-hmm. every mm-hmm. year it gets closer and closer, and the city council knows that money needs to be for you.
Yeah.
And they don't start dreaming and thinking of other things. No, they know it needs to go for
it
you.
We are big gears to get things done on the building side, on the mm-hmm. repair and building side is 2026. But it's going to take about a year to get the concept and all the things together so that we can touch ground in 2026 for construction. So it's a big process to make all that happen, because lots of bids have to go out. We have to get all the technical, you know, the state and all, you know, because it's a big project to upgrade, because it's a historic building too.
Yeah.
Right. So we have to have a historic, you know, so there's multiple pieces. It took 7 departments to put in the 4 bike racks that are outside the Washington Street door. Okay. And that took 4 months. No, it took 4 years to get those 4. So just know I'm on it, but just know that it's a process.
There is a reason why all those steps are in place.
They are in place for a reason. So for safety
and
all
this. Beholden to the public and
yes,
the public.
But I just want you to know it is not an easy task.
Vendors been identified that will actually?
No, that's what we have to do in 2025. We can't, because they're CIP or capital improvement projects are money. Their money years are January to December versus fiscal years run, you know, July to June. And so in our funding, we can't start talking about design until 2025. So once January 1 get here, hey, you know, then we can start working on it. Right now I can just dream about it and think about it. But once 2025 crosses over, then we can actually start talking about it, because then we have the funds to pay a team to do it. If not, if I get somebody right now, I won't be able to pay them. And they're gonna be like, who's gonna reimburse us for the months we worked in 2024? There was no money in 2024, so we have to wait to 2025. So once that happens, then we start having some discussion with some folks. There probably is a bid to go out about who's gonna help design the interior, and then we go from there.
And will we have to have a major fundraising drive?
No.
Nope.
No, the city has set aside enough money for us to do the interior project.
Great.
I didn't think they would. I thought we were going to do this major fundraiser mm-hmm. thing, but I think we'll be okay. Now, if it gets down to it and we want some extra cute stuff, some quartz or some diamonds or some, you know, or some pearls on the floor or in the wall, you know, then we might have to raise the money
for
that.
You are dreaming.
Well, you know, this is sort of like the Notre Dame Cathedral of Iowa City.
Oh, well, yeah. I think so,
it
too.
Really is. I'm just saying, you know, if we want to get, you know, to bring back Michelangelo from, you know, hundreds of years ago, we'll need a little spiritual touch piece there. But then we'll need the money to pay them. So we might need the fundraising for that. But so far, I feel really good that the city has committed Well, I work for the city, but the city manager's office and council have committed to the upkeep and repair of this building for it to be here for a long, long time. So I'm excited about
it's
that.
It's not that hard to get them all excited about spending that kind of money, too. So
yeah.
Whatever you
yeah.
Golden
so I'm just going to keep
throwing
moving.
Their way, keep
Look,
doing
I'm just
it.
keep moving real
yep.
quietly and real, you
yep.
know, very nicely. So I'm going to be, if I stay nice, it seems to.
Well, the door. Between the tower and
oh, that's getting repaired, I think, on Monday. Yeah, they're working on that. Yeah. There is a door issue that it was slamming too fast.
Ooh.
Like, it would open fine, but when the machine would want it to retract back to close between Ecumenical Towers and the Senior Center, it would just slam, and we were worried that somebody would be standing there and it would knock them down, and so we're like,
no.
It's not safe. At first, I had to go and see it for myself, and when I saw a slam like that, I was like, oh, I just can't imagine somebody falling and hurting themselves, so we just had to close it. But I think it's being repaired early morning on Monday.
Will the speed of the elevator be adjusted?
Listen, son, that elevator's about 30 years old. We're going to be real nice to it till we get a new one, okay? I need you to speak very quietly and very kindly about it so it doesn't start acting up. But no, it is on our CIP, on our improvement to be replaced, actually, because it is quite, it's hung in there. It's hung in there. We've got some great folks that have worked on that elevator for a couple decades.
I think, wasn't it the original freight elevator?
Yeah, it's been updated maybe in the 70s, 80s, but you know, it's getting us where we need to go, but maybe not as quickly. We definitely will work on that. We don't want it to go too fast either, because we don't want, you know,
yeah.
people falling
mm-hmm.
down, but it is definitely on the list of replacements.
It instills patience.
That's right. It does.
It's a good time to meditate.
Yes, it's a good time.
Maybe if there was like a soothing voice that came.
Yeah,
from,
like, I can just like do a recording and be like,
yeah.
Welcome to the Senior Center.
Yeah.
We are so glad you are here to visit us today. Floor one.
Keep all hands
ground
and
floor.
Feet inside.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
There you go. Okay, well, any community correspondence?
Mm-mm.
All right. Future agenda items? I still want to put in a word in for hearing from staff one
yep.
at a time. And I also thought Heather might be a good one.
Yep, she would love to
go. You know, talk about how the friends of the Senior Center and what all they do and
mm-hmm.
whatnot. That's just, I know we've had Emily and Michelle
mm-hmm.
and Kristen has it on her to-do list once we get everybody up and going downstairs and everything.
Yep.
But then I thought Heather might be a good one too.
Yep.
Brad, some month.
Sure.
You know.
No, we'll definitely get the man and we'll get our inner office aide. We'll get Trail to come again and talk about
sure.
what's up with them. They're hiring a new person.
Oh, yeah.
So
they'll get a new director.
It'd be nice to have them come and update us.
Uh-huh.
And they'll be moving offices from up here down to the third, to the ground floor.
Oh, they will?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it actually will be a bigger space for them. So.
What are we going to do with that room? Do you know?
Well, Heather's still...
Oh, she'll be there.
That's her office. They split it right now, but yeah, it'll give her more
okay.
space. We'll probably put some students in there because with the new department coming on,
mm-hmm.
we have to kind of move things around.
Oh yeah,
and
where
so
might they go? Yeah.
When they come, they're going to take up our student spaces, so we need a place to put them. And then
oh.
we have the V&A suite open, so we're just going to move them there.
And now the engineering will be here for 6 months or so?
Oh, like four or something, three or four months. So. But yeah, it actually worked out better for them because they'll have more office hours and more space if we move them down to that suite. So
life has changed, isn't it?
Always. That's what I promise you. I'm sitting around pulling levers and pushing buttons all day long. I'm like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll
yeah.
pop the corks
yeah.
on 2025.
Yeah.
We're gonna
yeah.
get her done.
Yeah.
So. I'll move that.
Oh. Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks,
we
Nancy.
All second.
Secretary Nancy.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, everybody.